I'm Amy.
I'm Wendell.
And I'm Patrick.
And
this is
Yes
But Why
Podcast.
So my first like history class at college at UT was basically he handed us a book that just said everything you learned in high school is wrong. Read this; it's going to correct everything.
Oh my goodness!
That was the working title. That was the title of the book.
Like everything you learned in high school was wrong, or something like that.
Yeah.
What was that noise?
That was.
Was it a dinger?
Oh, that was the bell of truth ringing. That's what it was.
This is the squeaky.
You have
we are
truth.
Woke. Yeah.
Oh. We are woke.
They have a music thing going now.
Oh, yo, yeah. So they do.
Wow.
PBR Music, giving back to musicians.
Hey, wait, they're not sponsoring
Maybe
us.
Maybe you can get sponsored.
Can cut that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, right? Watch out for those festivals, though. Didn't you see that festival where everybody went to that island and
Fire
then it
festival?
Turned out to be horrible and wrong and bad?
Yeah,
I was not into that. I was like, well, I'll never go to anything from now on.
Sponsored by PBR, actually.
Oh, poor PBR.
It's a Ja Rule,
well, was
I
it
think.
Fake? Was it like a festival created to mock rich people? Or was it a festival that just went wrong?
I think it was not intentional that like everything fell apart. Ja Rule just like... Ja Rule,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. That's so mean of me.
No. It ended up being a mockery of rich people because, it was a very high-end festival. It was one of those things where they were supposed to have, like, yacht parking and have all these, like, little separate bungalows and everything. And then it just looked like it was like a repurposed refugee camp.
Right.
Because I read all those things about people posting pictures where they, like, went in and nobody had any food and there wasn't enough, like, water on the island for everyone.
Yeah.
And, like, they went and they're like, sorry, the hotel that we originally set up, like, said no, so nobody can stay there anymore. And, like, people lost their baggage.
What island?
I literally have no idea.
You don't know the name of the festival? I didn't
know.
No, it was the Fire Festival with a Y.
Yeah.
F-Y-R-E.
Oh.
And,
it was a while ago. It was a couple of months ago.
Wish I could Google it.
Yeah, Ja Rule was not available for comment.
Ja Rule, generally pretty good at arriving at festivals and doing his job.
Come on, baby, put it on me. I don't know.
That's the only Ja Rule song I know. I've never heard that song that you just sang. So, great.
I think it was with J-Lo.
Yeah, that was 100% with J-Lo.
Yeah, it was with J-Lo. It was...
Great.
Come on. Come on, guys.
I think it was...
If I know it, everyone knows it.
Might have been on the VH1, like, morning edition that I watched
so
every day.
So, we've just informed you our level of music knowledge. That's pretty much what it is. It's just Ja Rule and J-Lo. That's pretty much all we listen to.
We keep it in the J's here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're branching
out. All the way from Ja Rule to J-Lo. Working on JMs next week.
Jay-Z?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Hmm. That would be a lot better, in fact.
Ja
if
Rule
only
to Jay-Z.
Any of us had referenced Jay-Z.
Who's he?
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Right, oh, you mean Mr. Beyonce. That's what you mean.
Yeah. Noel. Yes. Gotcha. Great.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
that does.
Mr. Knowles.
Oh. For real. I wanted you to say Mr. Knowles if you're nasty. I don't know. I don't know why. I didn't get felt because it says Janet Jackson. I'm sorry. Woo.
Wow.
Janet Jackson also just had a baby just like me. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, she's at
for
least...
the first time?
I don't know first time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what her appropriation...
She's close to 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was concerned about being 38, but then when I found out she was 50, I was like, well, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, no big deal. I mean, I don't have rich people science or anything, but I did have some pretty good science.
I mean, what are we worried about? That one of the Jackson offspring might turn out to be kind of weird?
No.
Poor kids. I think...
No.
The bar was set pretty high on that. Whoa, my Cheetos flew everywhere.
Cheetos all over the place.
It's fine.
That's what happens when you talk shit about Michael Jackson.
Yeah. His ghost just came and smacked it out of his hand.
I enjoy that that's the worst his ghost does if you talk shit about him.
Oh, he just smacks food out of your hand.
Get that 1 cent thing out of your hand.
He just ate my Cheeto. That's what he had.
It's okay, just leave it.
Yeah, no,
I'm fine with you now.
That's my donation to...
To the Roaches.
To the Jacksons, yeah.
Hopefully, there's only just the one anyway.
The one.
He's well fed, though.
Yeah.
You keep him big enough, he keeps the other smaller ones out.
Oh, man.
That's a thing.
Well, so the Fire Festival didn't go well, but as far as festivals go, You do a lot of festivals with Golden Dawn Orchestra, right? I see that name a lot on a lot of festivals recently. Have you guys done a lot of traveling and touring and festivals? Have you had good and bad experiences?
We haven't done a lot of U.S. festivals. I mean, we've done some local, I guess, ones. I mean, we Solstice Festival, Utopia Fest. But this summer, we're going back to Europe, and we'll be over there 5 weeks. So we do a lot of European festivals. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to name them off.
Sure, it's fine, no worries.
But we get to go over there and do European festivals, which is really awesome.
They're like well organized. Do you feel like they take care of you?
Yeah, very well organized. So great. Our first festival that we went to last summer was in this island off the coast in the Netherlands, and it's an island called Vlieland. And it's so magical. It's like where unicorns and sparkle dust come from. And we had to travel by a ferry to get there. And then there's no cars on the island. So you show up and they had all these bicycles ready for us. And then they carted our gear and so we kind of jumped off the boat and then got on bicycles and then rode to our dorm where we were staying. And it was an amazing festival. Like they were just cooking like fresh fish and vegetables. I mean, it was so civilized. Fine. It was so amazing. They have amazing beer there and just, a very small boutique festival. And it's called Into the Great Wide Open.
Oh.
And it's pretty magic.
I'm going to word this poorly, but does this island have like an indigenous people? Are there people that live on this island and there's not a festival going on?
Very, very small population. Just a few Dutch people. And they're very...
And their clocks, I don't know.
They're very just like beautiful and soft. It, like all the girls are just so stunning. Like they don't wear makeup. It's just this very like kind of natural.
Where is this looking?
Yeah, like a direct like a longitude and latitude.
It's really far north, so they're very like white northern people because they probably don't get a lot of sunshine.
Yeah,
only in
the
summer.
Great wide open. Right.
Yeah, but it's really really amazing and incredible fresh seafood and stuff there. So
wow, that's super.
That was
fun.
A pretty neat festival.
I like that.
It was a good way to start it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how'd you get hooked up with the European tour? I mean, that seems like harder to book than like a U.S. tour, and yet somehow you've done it now twice.
Yeah, because Europeans are more organized.
Great. No, that's great to know.
Because like promoters and booking agents, I mean, it's just like anything. You're going to be more special when you're from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So just like in the States, like, oh yeah, you're another American band like wanting to get on a festival. Whereas, you know, if you have something, you know, the orchestra is very cool looking. I mean, we're obviously like costumed and it's very theatrical. So we look cool, I guess, enough to kind of create some interest. And but just having like a good booking agent, you know, and that took us on. And you just kind of go for it. I mean, we're a big band and you go your first couple years, I don't feel like the band is always paid what it's worth, you know? I mean, it's one of those, you're just kind of trying to, you know, make it all work. But it's just planting the seeds and growing it and continuing to go back. So this year, we're staying for longer. Last year, we were there 3 weeks, and then this time, we're there 5 weeks. So, because you have to hit the weekends, you know, because all the festivals are on weekends.
Right.
So if you want to do a bunch of festivals, you have to kind of be there enough weekends to show up. And then you just fill in the dates. Yeah.
And just hang out midweek
in
random places.
What a terrible thing.
I know.
But it's just funny sometimes to, like, figure out what to do with your, like, you know, how many people in the band?
We range, like, here in Austin. I mean, we'll range from, like, 13 to 18.
Yeah.
And then, but over there, we're flying over. There'll be about 9 of us and a tour manager. So.
Right on, right on. So it's like the core group is like, yeah, I can go to Europe for 5 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
It can be hard.
It's
I can't
sacrifice.
Imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine.
But it's a fun, I mean, if you get to go travel to Europe and have it paid for, I mean, a lot of people, you know, save up for years to go travel and have an experience. So to be able to go and kind of do a work, you know, a work vacay. It's worth it. Yeah.
Write that right off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's a good trip right there.
Yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
That sounds so cool. What other places in Europe did you guys go last year, and where are you going this year?
So we're going to a lot of the same places. So we're landing in Amsterdam and flying out of Amsterdam, so that's always great. So Netherlands, France, Germany, Luxembourg, Belgium. And this year we're going to Spain, which we haven't been to Spain before. I've never been to Spain, so I'm really excited.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Spain will like you guys a lot.
I think so, too.
Yeah, there's a theatricality to a lot of the, you know, like, dancing and music that that I've seen, like, in Madrid and stuff. So it's like, oh, yeah, they'll like the costumes and everything.
Yeah, the freak show.
Bringing it all together. And it gives you a visual element as well as the music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the way matadors decorate themselves.
Yeah.
They got a flair. They got a flair for that sort of thing, you know? Like, the razzle-dazzle of it all.
People are going to be psyched about it. No, I'm super excited. That's going to be a great additional place.
Yeah, for sure.
And so different than the other places. Like,
it's
funny how... Because I've been to a couple, three or four of those locations, and it's like, yeah, they have that sort of Middle Europe feel, you know, like, yeah, absolutely, I get it. Germany, Luxembourg, yep, Belgium, that's that crowd, you know. But then you get over in the West where you're like, Spain and Portugal, you're like, oh, okay, what's going on over here? Maybe a little Ireland? Oh, interesting. They're unusual up there in Ireland. If you ever get up there, oh, it's fun.
I was going to say, abrupt tone change, I think, from like Spain and Portugal to Ireland.
I don't know. I mean, because they're wild partiers in a different way.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, like
the
weather is different.
You go to
But so are Germans.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes, yeah. I've been
to Germany. You're right.
Which side of the wall are we talking about? Because that's...
Which side of the wall did you live?
Wall.
Did you grow up on?
Not anymore. I was on the west side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was
there
a child
when
he
the
grew
wall
up
was there.
In
that was the real
so
party
why.
Side, you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in comparison to the east side.
Czechoslovakia
was
still
a big
thing.
Political thing when he was 5.
Yeah, I took down that wall.
Yeah.
Doing it.
It was part of you. You were involved
chiseling
in that.
A hammer.
It was really important that you were
yelling
there.
Yelling at Gorbachev.
It's helpful. It's helpful that you were able to have that discussion.
Everybody was looking at Hasselhoff, and Patrick's
already doing the work.
But the thing is, it was just a plastic chisel. So it didn't really work as well, you know? So
it helped
like,
every bit.
It did. They were like, that child is
like
very industrious.
Up, like a bindle full of like plastic Tonka tools.
Probably a different feel over there now. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's a different kind of crowd.
So is there like a festival season, and so you guys get to like chain several things together? That's awesome. Is it like just the summertime?
Summer.
Yeah, everybody's just like, let's go
it's
out and do the festival
cold.
Things.
Right.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
longer
fair
snow
enough.
On the ground.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Everything is a lot higher up over there for the most part, so
I forget.
I don't know.
I've lived in
Germany
Austin for
like
so long that I forget about weather.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, it's just fine all the time, right? Like, I can just wear, you know, a light jacket and any time of year. That's fine, right?
You forget about the 114 we just had?
Good God.
Absolutely. 100%. I still wear long sleeve cardigans. It's 110 outside. I'm all like, you know what? It's gonna be cold in my car.
Yeah.
Germans would remember that forever.
If I go inside
like
a
114
store, you know?
Degree day.
Oh yeah.
Oh that'd man. So you said you were talking earlier about how you have spent a lot of years in Austin. How many years have you lived in Austin?
I've been here since 92.
Cool. So solid laying down of roots and making it your own. I dig it. Sweet.
I should have bought real estate in the 90s.
Oh, it really sucks, right?
Screwed up.
Oh, man. I think about that all the time. My husband just said to me the other day, we're going to buy a house. And I was like, with what? Like, they don't just let you get it for a song and a dance. Because that's what we have to offer.
How far are you going to go out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I'll be like living way the hell out. Where's my... some random crazy town. And I was like... that's the name of a town? They're like, yeah, it's really close to Austin. I was like, yeah, it's over. I don't know what to tell you. Probably better, though, because it can be difficult. It's starting to get a little packed.
Yeah.
Even if you lived in a place where you thought you had a big backyard or a big space, all of a sudden you turn around and there's, like, an apartment building with 4 apartments. And, like, you know, there are people just hanging out, like, what's up? And you're like, ah, okay.
I've got a coworker. Their neighbor has a giant... like oak tree that can't be cut down because of the city codes now.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's like just out there praying every day for bugs to infect it or whatever. So she can, the tree will fall and then she can split the lot and
she wants to kill the tree.
I wanna like imagine that you're being literal right now. Like she comes out and like prays over the tree.
Yeah,
all right. She tries to summon the bugs. Is that
or whatever. Yeah.
Do a bug dance.
She does a bug death.
She's pouring poison on it.
Yeah, I was gonna say she could pretty directly get a bug. Just, I'm yeah, sure yeah. if she really wanted to, but I feel like somebody would the know. Oak checker,
yeah,
the guy who's in charge of oak in town, he'd be like, "Excuse me."
I noticed this, that there were South African bug, termites, yeah. and we yeah, don't yeah. have those.
That's something indigenous planted, to this particular yeah. Area.
Oh, that would be a great job. Is like
the oak the, guy?
I suspect foul play.
The CIS yeah. termite
the tree
guy.
Yeah, yeah. The tree protector. Mm.
Well, there is like that person goes around and they put the tags on the trees, right, to denote this is a historical tree and
yep.
nobody touch it.
What is this tree? A historical tree that's in front of this building?
I don't know.
That is a pretty interesting mm-hmm. oak tree.
Yeah.
I want to climb
it's
it all the
time. Very old yeah. and bumpy.
Yeah, it has looking. A really, like, fairy tale kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. Every time I walk by it, I'm always like, I wish I could hang out here. But, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, like
sit in the tree? Yeah.
And talk to musicians that are outside smoking.
I guess I could. I could just, what am I doing? That's what I should be doing every day.
It's almost like that tree is too nice for this place.
It definitely is.
I really think it used to be a nursing home, so it was probably, like, the perfect thing. Yeah, and now it's just, like, guys
You think this was a nursing home?
No, it was a nursing home.
Did you investigate? Who Googled?
No, I didn't Google. I talked to the guy that is like the
I just guess
the grounds manager or whatever.
Oh, right. And he said it used to be a nursing home.
A nursing home and a place for like single mothers, like abused women.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like a safe house kind of thing.
Here's hoping it has a kind vibe and not a sad vibe.
You know, I feel like that's why the trees kind of got like this angle is like the tone took a different.
No. Yeah, and it seems like it has a lot of like warts on it, or something. You know, like it's a very odd, like very bumpy, like it's old and kind of crusty.
Yeah. It's sad. It's had some rough times.
What makes the tree
heard
historic?
A lot of weird stories?
Well, that's the thing. I was wondering about that location? The other day. Heard, like, historic, and then like also they look at cultural significance, and I was like, who defines that? / what defines that? You know?
Yeah. What culture?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like,
it depends on how many people pray around it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like, specifically, this one lady has, like, just prayed around it enough that it's...
Then now they'll never let her cut it down because there's, like, a cult that follows her because of it.
In my head now, there's two different groups. There's groups that, like, pray to keep the trees, and then there's, like, the anti-tree people that are out there.
Those people often hang out together, but they, like, don't discuss their intentions, so there's, like, a lot of, like, just canceling out, like, prayer, anti-prayer.
Yeah, the same base belief system that this deity controls trees, so they've got a lot in common. Start there.
It's like one side's just like, don't tell the other side about fire.
Poor trees.
Yeah.
Once again, that CSI guy will know if you use an accelerant. They will know.
Oh my god.
So it's gonna be a natural. It's gonna be a natural fire. If you're gonna take
it has to be lightning.
Yeah, but just no fires like in the city if we can help it.
So 1992. Wait, that was the year that you moved to Austin.
From
good year. I enjoyed it.
From San Antonio.
Okay, cool.
Oh, right on. Cool. Close. So Texan born and raised?
Yeah, Texan born and raised, but my mother's from Switzerland. And and then my father moved to Indonesia when I was about 5. So he lived in Indonesia most of my life. And so we lived in Indonesia for about a year and a half when I was in elementary school. And then, he stayed and then he has family there. So I actually have a half Indonesian sister as well. Okay. So our family's kind of,
awesome.
That's
diverse.
Wild.
And you did a lot of traveling back and forth from that.
Yeah,
Indonesia.
So I did.
That's
so
great.
So I would go to Europe every other summer, and then we lived in Borneo of all places, with going to international school. Yeah.
Wild.
For that short period of time that we lived over there. So.
Right on.
And then I've been to Bali a few times, and see my sister. So so I've traveled a bit, so I don't feel like a normal Texan. Like
sure.
Yeah. I have a pretty wide view, even as a child. Just getting to travel internationally sort of opens your mind, and you know that there's a lot bigger scope than just what's happening in your classroom and the drama of elementary or middle school. It's like, there's a big world out there. I don't have to get caught up in this petty stuff. You know?
Oh, that's helpful. What? At such a good time of your of being a child when you could get so caught up in that whole thing. I feel like it's that time around when people decide things like, I'm just going to stay in this town for the rest of my life. And you're like, okay, just relax. Like, don't get caught up. Like you said, there's so much adventure out there.
Yeah. Well, I think children actually feel more of that. I don't think a child is making a decision to stay in their hometown for the rest of their life. I mean, it's more like when you're a child, like, oh, anything's possible. And then as you get older and more jaded, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to stick around here.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I had a lot of friends that, like, were super into the idea of safety as far... I mean, I'm from Boston. Not leaving Boston is kind of everyone else's MO. Like, there's just, like it's just a big... Let's stay here. This is the best place. There's no other place that's as good as this place. And you're like, I don't know. There's a bunch of places like within driving distance that are kind of cool.
You know, it doesn't snow some places. That's crazy. Yeah.
And other places where people are nicer.
Exactly. It's like, you know, I can give or take the historical buildings, but you guys need to take it down a notch with your anger.
Yeah. Especially in Boston.
Oh, for real.
So aggro.
Did you spend some time there?
I haven't spent time. I just haven't had very many positive experiences.
No, don't spend time there.
And, no.
I spent 18 years there. Let me just tell you, just it's all aggro all the time.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Everyone who's not has left.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. You know?
It's like one of the first, like, towns in America, you know? It's like the old crotchety man up in the top corner, just kind of mad and cold. And
I get it.
Right.
Yeah, just the way it spreads out. All the younger states are still chill. You know, like everything on this side.
All the younger states.
Yeah, like all the western, like really western states are all better. Just whatever, man. Yeah, they're like, come on, cut it out, Grandpa.
Yeah, but everybody has a preconceived notion. I think kind of why I brought it up was everyone, if you don't have the travel in you, you will automatically assume certain things about certain places. You like decide this is the way they are.
Yeah.
And like I recently read something about those people in Texas. And it was written by someone who'd never been to Texas, who was living in the Northeast and like trying to blame all of today's political ills somehow on the state of Texas. And I was like, I don't understand how any of this has anything to do with one particular group at all.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, so I feel like there's a closed-mindedness when you don't travel or when you don't have... when somebody doesn't say to you, like, you don't have to worry about this, or, like, you know, people are good and bad everywhere. Mm-hmm. Some people are nice, some people are not nice. Pretty much in every place, though.
That's
right. That's
true. Yeah.
You know.
And it's, you know, I shouldn't be generalizing about people in Boston. It's just, you only have your personal experiences to go off of.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
No, that's my personal experience, which is why people, I was like, go out
to, like, fight. Like, you know, when you're like, it's a Friday night, let's get in a fight. You know, that's, like, entertainment.
Yeah.
You know? To men, you know, that's sort of horrifying.
Not only men, but yeah. Definitely.
You got some stories there? We'll talk about it offline. That's fine.
I was like, I'm not going to name names of the Fight Club of girls. Okay. I went to an all-girls Catholic school. It was aggro in and of itself.
Different.
Yeah,
different
high school, you know. Oof, hormones.
Yeah.
Crazy. So you've been in Austin for a long time. And I read in your on your website about, and I feel like this was a group that you were working with when I first met you, was the group Quixotic.
Yeah.
Tell me about that group and the travel you did with them and the work that you did with them. Because I remember hearing about you going on tour with this group and there being a dance element, but I wasn't sure which part you were in.
So Quixotic is a performing arts group based in Kansas City. And it originally started with just doing one show a year with members of the Kansas City Ballet when they would be in their off season. So it would be in summertime, and they would rent a theater out in Kansas City and put together kind of a big multimedia production. So incorporating like projections and dance and original music to kind of, you know, like do a big full tilt show with a big cast. And then it started, and so when I met them, that was kind of where they were at. And he, believe it or not, had found me on MySpace.
Awesome.
And liked my music, and, you know, and at the time I was doing more electronic music and was wanting to actually be a part of something larger than myself, you know, and to work with dancers and not just kind of be in bands, but to be in production. larger production. So it just seemed like a really good fit. And so I started going up there, and then we would just kind of do the one show a year. And then as the group grew, you know, we got invited to some of the different festivals, and Wakarusa was actually our first big festival that we got to go, you know, perform at. And, you know, just like Golden Dawn, you have to kind of tone it down. I mean, we're not going to have like a 30, 40 member cast, you know, theater show at Wakarusa. So, you know, it just, the group started kind of changing more into like a band with dancers, and, you know, and incorporating like different apparatuses. And it started going from kind of more classic kind of ballet, like floor dance, to aerial arts. So then he started, Anthony Magliano, who's the artistic director, he started kind of sourcing, you know, Cirque talent, you know, to do like silks and aerial, you know, kind of flying in the air type of thing. So the group just kind of continued to evolve, and I worked with them for about 7 years. And yeah, I would travel back and forth to Kansas City and just write music. And we just did a lot of different things, you know, like some shows would be more geared for kind of festival crowds and kind of more upbeat dance music. And then some things would be more kind of performance oriented, like theater production stuff. So it was a really cool experience. And I started learning about costuming and stuff then, you know, that was kind of a really good prepping ground for Golden Dawn Orchestra, you know, which is kind of learning about, you know, just makeup and hair, you know, just kind of like more over the top fashion.
Was Quixotic your first experience in that kind of theater, or had you done other theater in the past, or were you primarily a musician?
Well, yeah, actually, when I first, I had actually composed music for dancers here in Austin, and I did produce some of my own shows. So I did have dancer friends and people, and I think that music, it has to be visually interesting, especially now more than ever. You know, we're such visual people, so to create something that's more just like than me playing piano on stage, but like, oh, here's this dancer to look at, or music that's going with dance. So I had produced a couple shows here in Austin, but I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever produced shows, but it is a ton of work. And so when you're doing everything, like kind of you're wrangling everyone and composing all the music and handling the band and handling the dancers and handling the production, it was just a lot. So I was really excited when Quixotic sort of showed up and there was already a team in place where everyone had their different kind of department of handling. You know, someone's dealing with the choreography and we're dealing with the composition, and there's, you know, lighting and sound people. So
nice to have a big team.
Yeah, so it's definitely something I've always really enjoyed doing. And it's actually funny, next week I'm composing music for a dance show that's happening next week at Community First Village. That's the Mobile Loaves and Fishes. Am I saying that right? Mobile Loaves and Fishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
so basically it's a tiny home community that's geared for getting homeless people affordable housing and kind of helping them get back on their feet. So we're actually doing 3 shows out there, July 5, 6, and 8. And and I'm really excited. So I'm kind of back in that world, like composing music for dance again. So it is something I really enjoy.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you start out composing music? Is that sort of your artistic beginnings? Or was it theater? Were you in plays, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I was so shy as a child. So certainly not into acting or doing... No, like, I studied classical piano. So I was much more... like in, you know, very shy, practicing a lot, and I would do, you know, piano competitions and stuff, and I went to college for classical piano, and I teach piano still. I mean, that's my main job, is I teach piano to children. And but I was so shy, and it was really being in the Austin music community that started opening my mind, because there's so many creative, outgoing people here, and especially musicians that learned by ear, not from the classical school, and just, it was really my exposure while I was in college to other musicians in the community, and having like really beautiful support, like people saying like, come to the music lab or whatever, come to the practice room and come jam with us. And I'm like, jam? What is jam? Like, you know, what is this jamming? Like improvising? What do you mean? Like, how do I make up music that isn't written? You know, it was a very new concept. And you know, and so just kind of exploring that, and it's like I literally had to kind of forget everything I learned, like lose all that structure and just kind of closing my eyes and kind of getting into the whole feeling and the other kind of realm of music, you know? Yeah. So that expanded me. And then also, I didn't sing again because I was so shy. I'm like, I can't sing. And so, Rock and Roll Rentals, that still exists, mm-hmm. and that was like back, you know, has been around for like 20 years. I rented a 4-track recorder and a microphone and vocal effects processor, and I started, and back then it was cassette, you know, so it was a cassette 4-track recorder, and I just started at home just kind of tinkering and like recording, you know, because I don't want to go perform on stage somewhere. I was like, oh, I'm just going to experiment, and then I started writing songs more so through recording them, and you know, and then I remember that big pivotal moment where I played my 4-track for someone. I'm like, here, check this out. You know, he's like, oh, that's really good. I was like, wow. And then, you know, I realized that maybe I could sing and become, you know, develop that side of myself and become a songwriter. So that's when I started, you know, like performing a little bit. And I would, man, I remember I would be so nervous, you know, and I would prepare all day, like, okay, I have a gig tonight, I like have to drink lots of water, I have to just make sure I eat the right food. It was like this whole day preparation of me going out to perform. And it's so funny now, it's just like piece of cake, you know. I'm like, ugh, no big deal. Yeah, I don't get nervous anymore. But it's interesting, you know, it's just like anything you do, the more you do it, it gets easier and more in flow. So I've come a long way from being someone who's so kind of closeted and shy to now, like, being in a very theatrical, open, you know, wild band.
So, when you're working on something new, are you still just sitting down to your piano and
pressing record? Yeah, I do. Yeah. So I just released an album, mm-hmm. so that's kind of what prompted this visit. Right. So, and I hadn't released an album in about 15 years because I kind of jumped off and I was doing all this stuff with Quixotic, and then I kind of started taking more of a side role with other musicians, and I was playing a lot of vibraphone and accordion because I just thought it was cooler to play weird, obscure instruments and kind of be in a band. And again, it was this like not wanting to have to pull, like to be in charge of everything. You know, it's like, oh, I can just show up to a gig and play, and you deal with booking it, and you can pay me, and you deal with all that other crap, you know, so I can just be a band member and have it kind of an easy ride.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you're like, wow, you're doing all this contribution for everyone else's creative path and supporting. And then it's just like, gosh, but I actually write songs, and actually I have something to share, and actually I have a voice too. So why am I not honoring that? So it was just, you know, it was time, you know, that it's like, okay, Laura, at least, you know, it's time to not forget where you come from and you are a songwriter and enjoy writing and creating from the piano.
Well, I hope at this point too you've made the connections where there are people who are booking you in your solo act or taking care of receiving the money or any or managing you in some way.
Nope.
No, now you have to do it yourself.
Yep.
No, make somebody else do it for you. They'll do it. They want to do it. There's somebody out there that wants to be your manager. You know it.
Yeah, do you want to be my manager?
At least find someone at UT to be an intern. They'll do it. That's great.
No, intern. Oh, don't get me started on using UT interns. So no, professionals.
So in your new album, I definitely heard an accordion right away. Was that you playing multiple instruments on this?
Yeah,
as well?
I play all the instruments except bass and drums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all the vibraphone, piano, any electric synthesizers, any of that stuff, and the accordion and toy pianos, that's all me. Yeah.
So we would like to go on record and say the weirder, more vague the instrument, it absolutely is cooler. Like, for all of our Austin listeners, that is 100% a fact.
If it wasn't in a 1950s sci-fi movie, I would nothing
to do. Yeah, no, all you theremin players out there, keep it going.
We didn't make theremin on the record.
Yeah, if you need Chris to make you a theremin that belongs just to you and only reacts to your body, then we can do that.
My aura.
Yeah. Nobody else, they put their hand over it, nothing happens. Only when you do it.
Chris can make theremins?
Yeah, Chris can make theremins. Man? Yeah, we have a couple of theremins at our house that
just
he's like made.
Just a couple, like, this little pet project. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Wanna build one?
Chris made
me. Yeah, I want to build a theremin.
I have a circuit, but yeah, I have a weird Casio. I found it at, like, the Goodwill, and I think it was not working. I don't remember what the issue was, but I gave it to Chris, and then when he gave it back to me, it had like two more knobs on it. He said that. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, you can output it, you know, this way, or I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Whenever he gets old school stuff like that, he like outfits it to new technology. Yeah. So like he probably added like an HDMI or something. He was like, so you can record this with your regular digital record. What?
You can cook a 4-pound turkey in like 15 minutes. You can travel from San Francisco to New York in under 20.
Is he working on the time machine?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's been made. Come on. How do you think he gets all the work done?
I go to Goodwill quite often. That's one of my shticks. And I was super upset. I have to rant about this for a second. A reseller beat me to a bin. It's the
blue hanger.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right by my house. I'm well aware of the blue hanger.
So he
that's where I got that Casio. But I said Goodwill because not everybody knows about blue hanger.
Oh yeah.
So like 20 seconds ahead of me, he got to a bin. He pulled out like a DX11, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Like. I wanted it so bad.
Because I wanted it all. You pay for it by the
it's
weight.
It's by pound.
Right?
Yeah, he's paying like 2 pounds, and he's going to sell it for $300
bucks. That stock, you know, like I've had people steal stuff out of my basket.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's intense.
I don't go there because it is like that. Because it's like people like push you out of the way, and I'm like, hey, listen, I have a Bostonian deep inside me. I will kill you.
I want to fight you.
My fists are already towards your face. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I found when I'm waiting, if I just clean my fingernails with a large knife, they don't do that.
They don't mess with you. Right. They don't steal.
I'm just like, I'm here to get some candle holders, so back off.
And I have a big knife. I have a big knife in my
pocket. Now I understand why you grew the beard and shaved your head. You're trying to get better stuff.
I just want Goodwill stuff.
Yeah, you're like, listen.
Yeah.
I'm serious about my props.
Honestly, that was a real abrupt change that Patrick made one day that we were all just like, let's just see this play out. Let's see how
it was actually, yeah. When all of a sudden he shows up and he's got no hair on his head and he's got a big beard and we're like, alright. That seems fine.
What happened there?
Whatever sort of dramatic point you'd like to do.
I derailed this real quick. Sorry, everybody.
No.
There was a synthesizer.
Oh, hello.
It's the stupid...
Oh, the thing. Oh,
virus protection. It jingle jangles everything.
Yeah, that's the most I've ever heard someone get mad at jingle jangling of any sort.
Goddamn jingle jangle.
Why is it good?
Wind chimes.
Speaking of jingle jangle, did you know that Hobby Lobby already had their Christmas stuff out in June? Or May, I want to say.
I am not so surprised. I'm surprised it's not always out.
I agree.
Why
do they even take it away?
When does their Hanukkah stuff come out? That's what I want to know.
2 seconds before.
I mean, they're like a...
Like the day before, there's like a half
Christian.
They're
super Christian.
Yeah, maybe they don't. I don't know.
It's always in a clearance aisle. You guys, come on,
there's just a bunch of like gift bags that are like navy blue, and they're like, you know, it's our section.
Take that shit to Walmart.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I was like, not going down that road.
We peaked that.
It's over now.
I found my Cheeto that Michael Jackson took.
Oh, great. Don't eat that. Don't eat that Cheeto.
Don't put that Cheeto in your mouth. There.
But it was blessed by a Jackson. No?
Oh, man. It's funny. I really thought you were going to say something else about Hobby Lobby, but I appreciate that you had gone there and that there's
the
a lot of Christmas
jingle.
Stuff.
It just was making me think of jingling.
Yeah,
it
makes me want to go buy Christmas stuff, though, because to Patrick's point, and earlier you were like, do you ever produce shows? Boy, howdy do we. We do a sketch show, and so we're constantly buying insane amounts of props and weird stuff.
That's why you go to the Blue Hanger.
Yep.
Today I saw a stuffed banana.
I'm addicted.
That's
it's fine.
Only reason Patrick
it's right by my. It's I drive past it every day on my way
home. It's by my work.
So I try to limit my time there because it's really disgusting.
It is pretty bad.
Dirty.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you don't want to touch. I mean, people wear gloves and masks and go digging things.
But there is like that addictive part of it where it's kind of like like playing the stocks.
Well, you never
want to
shop again. You're like, oh, I got this shirt for 10 cents. I mean, why would I go anywhere else?
You just wait.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Well, also, since I've been going there and I haven't been using gloves for the last year, I haven't really gotten the flu. So I think this is my vaccine.
That's your flu shot. Okay. Good.
As strong as 10 men. It's very strange.
That's wild. All right, I'll bring the baby there, just roll him through.
Yeah, just
Just like cover be careful of the
broken
bit.
Glass.
It's fine.
Throw him in a bin.
Fine. It's fine. And then be like, no, you can't buy him by the pound. That's not
like their mascot.
You gotta wait a few more years.
That's how you teach him. That's how you teach him how to swim. Just throw other people's stuff in these blue bins.
Gross. I feel like their mascot should be someone who got superpowers from an object they just found in a. In a container at their store.
The Goodwill mascot?
Or got bitten.
Yeah, the Goodwill mascot. Yeah, exactly. Got bitten
got
by
bitten
somebody
by, like, a tunneling baby that Amy put out.
Tunneling baby?
No, yeah, like, I just see, like, you putting, like, the headlamp on him and him digging through the big piles for the good stuff down at the bottom. He was like, all right, don't come back up until you find a Christmas tree or something.
It's like a mix between, like, Aquaman and the baby who smokes a cigar and, like, Roger Rabbit.
Do not want. Do not
have
want.
You seen Boss Baby?
I haven't seen it. Oh, yet. I haven't, I but think I'm sure it'd be entertaining.
Well, because if one of us had seen it, we would. There would probably be another.
There would have been like,
yeah.
Like, there's something we don't know about. That
you're like,
other
and
do.
Boss Baby, am I right? High five.
Yeah.
We don't have, I was going to say, nobody has children that we have to take to movies yet, definitely.
Yeah, mine doesn't, to
least.
Ask for movies just now.
I don't know. I was just like, Alec Baldwin owed somebody something. Same with that Kevin Spacey cat movie. I was just like,
oh yeah,
these
no.
guys are
you
not
know what's
doing
really
that
nice,
poorly.
Guys? Money is
yeah,
really
but I mean, like,
helpful. I would literally do anything if you.
Maybe
she's
it
from
is
Boston.
Fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's entertaining to them, and they also may have children, so
yeah.
I feel like it's related.
I think we all know
voiceover
how
movies.
Alec Baldwin...
How great is that? You like sit in your PJs in like a room like this, and you're all like, "Yeah, can you believe it?" And then they're like, "Great, Alec, one more time. If you could just say it one more time, okay? Yeah, can you believe it? Yeah, that's his whole job. Like all
yeah,
day.
Alec Baldwin is kind of a lot more all over the place with his role choosing than Kevin Spacey, though. I felt like Kevin Spacey was like batting a thousand. He was like, "Yeah, I'll play
when
cat."
When was that though? I saw
that
the
was
movie.
Last year, or just like it
last
just
year.
Came out. I
yeah,
it's House
it
of Cards.
It's
like not gonna work
yeah,
out.
Yeah, House. Yeah, obviously you know something about House of Cards, but yeah, no, I mean like he kept like a respectable kind
of. I thought it was like K-Pax level sort of like.
Is it suck that that was my introduction? That was my introduction to Kevin Spacey. Was
really?
K-Pax. That was the first movie I think I ever saw.
I think
Kevin
my
Spacey.
First Kevin Spacey was Usual Suspects.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So like.
So I assumed he was good at things.
Right.
And doesn't he teach one of those masterclass acting? Like, there's a
masterclass.com. Oh, yeah. Ooh, I love those. Has anyone actually used one of those? Has anyone actually watched one?
I haven't,
one
but I've watched
it?
A lot of the demo, you know, like Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. It's only $80. I thought about buying that one.
Yeah.
That one's,
I thought about those, and I'm like, but what are they going to say? I don't know. I mean, $80.
I could listen to
if
Hans
I could blow
forever,
$80
though.
Just to watch Steve Martin tell me about comedy. He was teaching a comedy class,
oh,
and I was just
wow.
kind of like... What's he gonna say? Like, is he like...
I would love it if it was very minimal. Like for the first, like, 45 minutes, it was just him staring at the class. Like, everybody there, just not doing anything.
Just
then,
waiting.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
like,
not like it's not like a Skype. It's like a pre-recorded,
oh,
like,
yeah,
him
well,
in
okay,
front of a fire
at the camera or something.
Talking
yeah,
about,
just
you know...
Not doing anything.
I'm just saying, like, he's not like... Is everybody in attendance?
Well,
in this...
Everybody
this,
in Borneo, hands up.
I had a friend who did... He did, like, a visual effects one, and it was with another company, not that one. But it was, like, they met in Google Hangout, and they were...
Oh, yeah.
And I think Stan Winston School, they do that, too. Like, you actually just hang out in Google Hangout and... They're like, this is how you carve foam and make giant monsters, everybody.
Well, sure. I mean, like,
Jeff,
Skillshare is a website where you can do those kinds of things. But the famous people, they're very likely to have pre-recorded
yeah.
something.
Yeah. That's
and then make
look
you
good.
Look at it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they're, like, hanging out in the fanciest, like, set in the whole wide world. And they're like, let me talk to you about artistic theory.
Due to court obligation, I'm here to make you a better actor. You
know? Hans Zimmer's, like... His just like area he actually composes in is amazing. Like normal people have like bookshelves, but his are just analog synthesizers that make up the walls. Like it's just like what? Where do you live? Like what? This is your life? What's?
You sure that didn't like fake that nice? Room?
No.
No, this
I've
is
I've seen
house.
That in multiple things. No, I think it's actually at his because he's got.
It's
a consortium,
studio.
Yeah. Like they've got a bunch of people that actually help now
oh,
with his,
sure.
yeah, with the arrangement
them.
And
yeah.
everything. Yeah. So it's a whole bunch of young people. Just like he's like, here's four bars. Go. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a room like a studio like this that you guys meet in? Golden Dawn Orchestra to do rehearsing and stuff?
Or? We rehearse at the Sahara Lounge.
Okay. Oh! Because I was going to say, like, it's wait, a large band. I can't imagine where you could rehearse.
Who's the band leader of Golden Dawn Orchestra, is one of the owners of Sahara Lounge.
Oh, cool.
So, I love Sahara Lounge. Yeah. I've been there, like, several
And it's
times.
So awesome because we rehearse, like, in the daytime with disco lights.
That's
how oh, fun! So rad.
With, like, the full... Oh, do you get? So do you guys do shows there as well? Like... Or do you just
we
use it when
do maybe
there?
One kind of one show a year there because oh, okay. I mean I feel like the whole building might explode.
No, it's a pretty
like
tight
our,
venue
and the energy
for
of our band is
people.
I mean we're it's just so out of control. Like,
yeah,
when we play there because it's so packed yeah. and so intense that I feel like the whole building's gonna levitate or something.
I was really hoping you guys practiced like you practiced when there was one or two people there, not like you're, it's after hours. You guys are.
Yeah, we put practice in the daytime.
Hours.
Like
yeah. Before yeah. hours, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
At noon.
Just like there's
yeah.
that one guy who's sitting there as you guys are rocking
oh,
out hardcore.
Yeah, well, there's the one guy, yeah, but they're like straggler people that are coming. Like
he's
the guy
the best show of his
There's
life.
The guy delivering beer. There's the guy that are like, whatever, you know, raking
the guy who had to unlock
way.
The door.
That's
yeah.
The guy infusing that vodka that they sell, that like devil's piss stuff. You
what?
It. Yeah, they.
Not familiar.
I went there one time, and the first time I went there, and they offered me devil's piss, and it was just this big giant glass jar full of vodka that they infused with like 15 different kind of peppers and like all these spices and stuff.
Oh.
And your first drink was free if you would drink this first. Like the drink after it was free if you would have this beforehand. Like so.
Oh,
how was that?
It was amazing. It was so good, actually. It was one of those things. It was
they just scared you with it?
Unnecessarily hot. It was, it was by far the hottest thing I think I've ever, like, just knowingly had.
Yeah.
But there was, like, actual, like, herbs and spices mm-hmm. that went with it. So it was, like, I was like, I would marinate a chicken in this, and I would also, like, keep a bottle of this in my house. I don't
Are you
know.
Writing devil's piss
devil's
on your
piss.
Hand?
Nope. I'll write it and then we'll let the audience know.
No, I just really appreciate the idea. Like I don't care what you did write. I'm the audience. He just wrote devil's piss on his hand somewhere. He's gonna go tonight. They're gonna be like, yes, sir. Could I get your? Oh.
Oh no.
What
are you here for? This is my last podcast, everyone. So it's real nice. I'm just gonna sign off with that. All right.
And we never heard from Patrick again.
Oh my
but the
God.
Rest of Austin did the very next day in headline news.
No, that'd be very bad.
I'm thinking he would rob a bank or something, guys. I don't mean like something. I
feel like
anything.
That takes planning.
Well, not if you're sort. Full of devil's piss. All it takes is either to be full of devil's piss or a long elaborate plan.
Yeah, it depends on how long it lasts. I guess I could stand outside the bank from 3 a.m. until they open, waiting.
Or just bust through it like the Tasmanian Devil.
I thought you were
going to
say Kool-Aid Man. I'm glad you said Tasmanian Devil.
I prefer Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
Oh,
but he
yeah.
does, but he busts in there and does good things. The Tasmanian Devil don't.
What does he
in.
Do? What does the Kool-Aid Man
give,
do that's good?
Quenches your thirst.
Give neighborhood
right.
kids diabetes.
What? He has one job, and that is literally
kids.
Get mad about it.
It's kids outside, like the day is.
You picked the wrong topic. I'm all
worst.
About this.
It's so hot. What are we gonna do? We're dying, pretty much.
And then the Kool-Aid Man bursts through, and he gives his life to you.
Destroys,
that is his life essence.
Yeah. Destroys
splashing
public
around
property to be like, drink my blood like a Jesus-like character. Do you understand?
Uh-huh. Kool-Aid Man is Jesus. Got
yes,
it. Got
yes.
it.
Right.
He's
down.
The
write
Jesus
down,
of
right
fun
now.
Summer days. I don't know. Like
should have written on the back of your hand.
Yeah.
I'm not writing anything on my hand.
Do you not agree with that? That's fine.
You guys drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, we definitely did. We
oh,
went
yeah.
down a weird rabbit hole of that right
You're
there.
You're welcome.
oh my God. Are you going to be doing any more dance shows? I know you get the one at the Community First Village, but with your solo album
no.
and the music from it, will you do any
no.
shows that have...
No, I'm kind of happy to be just doing my thing mm-hmm. and not trying to do all of that.
Cool.
You know, yeah.
So the
yeah,
shows
the songs,
of you are just
speak by
you playing
yeah.
piano and they
yeah with
the
band
gets
yeah
to
sometimes
that.
Sometimes solo sometimes yeah with the band yeah And I probably am not going to be performing too much. Like, I just did the record release at Townsend. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just not playing too often, I think, is kind of the key, you know. At least in Austin, to not...
How big of a jump is piano to accordion? Just, like, it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, cause it's like, mm-hmm. I assume you'd learned to play an organ before that? Is it like, what's the step? You went straight piano to accordion?
Well, it's all a keyboard. Anything that's kind of laid out with the black and white keys is just like, that's basically the same. But, the accordion, you know, there's the whole button side. I mean, there's two sides of an accordion. There's the button side, and then there's the keyboard side. So, I mean, a lot of what I do on accordion is just playing the keyboard side and kind of playing melodies. But, the button side definitely takes a bit of practice, you know. So I took a couple lessons and then, just practiced. And I was really intimidated by accordion for a long time because it's such a backbreaker, you know, because you're, like, pumping this. You're like, oh, you know, you feel like you need muscles and some, you know, back strength to handle it. And so I bought an accordion that was kind of smaller. And, it's really tricky because you can't actually see the buttons, like, when you're holding the accordion. So I would just kind of peer over, try to use a mirror, you know, it's kind of interesting the way it's laid out. So,
that's awesome.
I'm a bit of a hack, you know, I'm not a very professional organ or accordion player, but
you're so funny.
But I do, that's the funny thing is that's why it was so fun to play these instruments with other, you know, singer-songwriters or other bands, because I was able to kind of learn these instruments like on the gig, and I didn't feel like I had to be very good. I just had to be good enough, and it was great. And then I got better, you know, through playing more. So
I like to think that we have like purist accordion listeners that are just like that hack. How dare
you,
she?
You put nail polish on those buttons.
You can have the gig. It's fine.
No, you took lessons. Yeah, you took a class. Like, here, it's like you put effort into it. You like legitimately looked, as opposed
you
to just
learn
was, like wanging it
on YouTube.
You can
learn
least, you know, yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier about those damn, like, video classes where some famous person just talks to us for 45 minutes and we pay $100 for it. So if that's the case, then some legitimate human being who wants to teach you how to do accordion, or whether they're on video or in person, that's a valid lesson. Not hack at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
My argument is against the hack
that are, like,
phrase.
These, like, old school, like, I don't know, like, I imagine, like, Russians at ballet, but, like, you know, like, these people are
German.
Like, no, the accordion is this, you know, like,
I
masterful
Cajun,
instrument.
Actually.
No,
Cajun, German, and Russian. That's an interesting...
Yeah, these are all the people that have the accordion. And I guess
Mexicans.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, the Mexican crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My neighbors play a lot of accordion.
I think that's thanks to the Germans.
Do your neighbors actually play accordion?
I think one of the kids does,
interesting.
I don't know.
That's like, you know, like, up front, that sounds kind of annoying, but I think I'd be like, of the list of things that a kid could be doing with his time in his hands.
Oh, yeah, it's good for the kid. Yeah.
Oh, we got shut down.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Yes But Why podcast.